And good afternoon. I'm Phil Latzman. Welcome to the Florida Roundup here on WLRN, our weekly mission to keep South Florida informed on local and regional and state news and issues affecting our entire community with a panel of the area's top journalists. And this week they are as follows. Marva Hinton is a producer, reporter, and anchor for our WLRN Miami Herald News operation. We work alongside each other every morning to bring you the news. Marva, welcome to the program. It's good to have you here for the first time.
Thanks so much, Phil. It's great to be here.
Brittany Wallman covers Broward County government and politics for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. She's made the journey from Broward County, and always good to see you. Brittany, welcome back.
Thanks for making me cross the county line.
We had to do it every once in a while. Yes. And a man who needs no introduction and does not need to cross the county line. He's a best-selling author, humorist, and longtime columnist for the Miami Herald. We welcome to the show Dave Barry. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Phil, I am terrified to be here.
So you're not.
This is a show where people are dealing actual information. I got the email, you know, about all the topics we're supposed to discuss, and I just want to stress right ahead of time, I know nothing about any of these topics.
And that's exactly why we're having you on.
Right, thank you.
So Dave, by the way, is also the official proprietor of the Herald Hunt, which takes place tomorrow at Peacock Park in Coconut Grove. And he has a new book, I believe it's titled Lunatics, is that correct?
I had a book that came out last January called Lunatics.
Oh, that's Lunatics, but then you have a new one coming out.
Yeah, coming out in next January. It's called Insane City and is, needless to say, about Miami.
Wow, we have to talk a little bit about that towards the end of the show. So we have, that Insane City could be underwater before too long. We've asked you this week, sort of as the theme of the show, to sort of tell us the signs of climate change in your community. We're seeing flooding and, of course, all kinds of strange things that have happened with the high tides leaving their mark on our coast. In fact, the U.S. Climate Change Conference in Qatar this week issued a report that was headlined Sea Level Rise Threatening Low-Lying Areas from Miami to the Maldives. And today is the last day of hurricane season. We were spared any major impacts, but we are seeing the sea level rise, especially in some parts of South Florida and Fort Lauderdale we'll talk about in just a moment. Now, Hurricane Sandy might have dealt South Florida just a glancing blow, but the high tides continue to leave their mark on the region's coast from Miami Beach to northern Palm Beach County. Widespread beach erosion can be seen on along Fort Lauderdale Beach. Parts of the seawall have been toppled by the sea, and that is where Broward beach erosion expert Ken Banks sees the greatest impact.
Mostly because the beach is somewhat lower there. The elevation's not as high, and there's no protective dune, so that when the waves run up, there's nothing to stop it from overtopping the top of the beach and then running into the highway.
But Brittany, you're not too far away from where all this is happening. It's kind of shocking to look and see parts of a major road just being ripped away by waves.
It is. It's amazing. They're saying that A1A, which was a four-lane road there, may never be four lanes again. And having to go take these Jersey barricades off 595 and sort of toss them in the sand to save two lanes, it's stunning.
You've covered this topic a lot from a governmental perspective, and I know next week there's going to be a summit of county representatives that are meeting in Palm Beach to talk about how sort of mitigate the effects of climate change, sea level rise in South Florida. Do you feel that local leaders are being proactive about this issue?
Well, even though we haven't really been paying that much attention, we being just sort of the masses out there, the South Florida counties have kind of been on the edge of planning for this for a few years now. And having this sort of environmental tragedy happen this year has probably done the most to advance the whole idea to plan for these things, because it's going to be very expensive. And when Broward County passed just some planning document recently, you had the building industry come out against passing it. They wanted to hold off. Republicans tend to be wary of it because they think it could hurt the economy. So it's taken something this tangible and in your face. We also had, you know, flooding in inland neighborhoods to get people to see that maybe this isn't just the terrain of women with hairy armpits and men in Birkenstocks. It is still controversial, though. And I bet if you could somehow poll the inner thoughts of people in high places, the governor, the mayors, you would find a lot of people still a little bit skeptic about the whole idea of global warming.
You know, it's funny because Marva, you and I talk about these stories every morning and how we're going to cover them. It's incremental. I mean, it's not something it's very hard to cover because it's something you see over years, but it is our future, and we sort of have to talk about it in a constructive way, not to scare homeowners or home buyers or real estate investors. You don't want to be henny penny, but you have to find a way to sort of report this in a meaningful and thoughtful way, right?
Of course. I mean, just last week, you know, with Brittany was talking about the problems they're seeing with A1A, I was reading stories that there were tourists who were calling down to the hotels in Fort Lauderdale and saying, you know, can I still come on my vacation? So, and they were saying they were reacting to national news reports. So I agree. We do have to, while we are showing people those pictures and they are fantastic to look at, we have to make sure that people know that this is right now, only a small area is being affected. People can still go about their business. I think what we do is just, you know, focus on what the scientists are saying about this and try not to be maybe what the alarmists are saying, you know, what scientists are saying, and do what we can right now to keep people from kind of going crazy with it. Yeah.
But if I could, you know, I've covered government for a long time, and some people's opinions have more weight than others. And the fact that these impacts are threatening the high-end homes of people with a lot of money. Mm. That stretch of A1A is the only access out for people that can afford to live that close to the sand. I think that's going to add a lot of pressure to the public officials to actually do something about it.
Dave, are we sort of the canaries in the coal mine? And what would South Florida look like underwater?
Well, in some ways, it would be an improvement. I live about a half mile from the water, and if the water came up about a half a mile, I would have a much more valuable house. The waterfront.
Right. Sort of like the Lex Luthor idea.
So let's look at it, you know, really in terms, as we should really with any issue, is does it benefit me?
So you're one of the fat cats I'm talking about.
No, but here's the thing about it.
Wait till you get your citizen's policy, though.
Yeah. Then, is it, you said Qatar? Is that how you pronounce it?
I believe
Qatar.
That's correct.
But anyway, where it is, they're having the big... Did you know, I did look this up. That is the single highest per capita carbon footprint nation in the world.
Right.
That nation. They use more oil and gas per person. They also make their living selling oil and gas. They have these giant buildings out in the desert that they air condition to very cold temperatures, incredibly wasteful, expensive, and so on. That's where the UN goes to talk about climate change. And I think the reason that people don't take us too seriously is the people who keep telling us we're supposed to take it seriously don't seem to take it that seriously. You know, you can only be told so many times by Barbara Streisand or somebody else who flies around in a private jet that you personally should wash, you know, dry your clothes on the line before you start to say, no, I'm not going to listen to you anymore. And I think that's kind of the problem that people have. The other one is, what are you going to do specifically, you personally? Do you really think if you recycle this particular piece of paper that will have any effect on the ocean? Nobody thinks that. That's the problem.
Right, not when Barbara Streisand's out there in her private jet.
Yeah.
But you have to think about this. Global warming is perhaps we're now at the point where it's something everybody's talking about, and we don't have to dispute it anymore because there were a lot of times we're in the media, global warming, well, it's not substantiated. Well, it is substantiated. It is out there, Dave, and we have a duty to report that, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, okay, I totally agree. I'm not arguing that
there's no
global warming. But first of all, a lot of people said, well, haven't there been periods of time, you know, throughout history when the Earth's temperature went up, the Earth's temperature went down? Does anybody really know why it does that? That's, I guess, you know, I'm playing the devil's advocate, but I think there's a lot of that feeling out there after having been told and told and told and told and told we're evil because we use, you know, oil.
You're listening to the Florida Roundup. That is Dave Barry, and the Herald Hunt, by the way, is tomorrow at Peacock Park in Coconut Grove. We'll talk more about it
if
in just a moment.
If there's still a Peacock Park.
Well,
tomorrow.
Exactly.
The way the seas are rising.
Yeah. May not be so incremental after all. Also with this is Brittany Wallman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel and our own Marva Hinton from WLRN Miami Herald News. And, of course, the 2012 Atlantic hurricane season ends today. with parts of New York and New Jersey still digging out from Sandy a month ago. The six-month period of activity produced 19 total storms. By the way, we did ask you through the Public Insight Network before we hear this about what you've seen, and we're going to hear some of those comments in just a moment. But apparently El Nino did not show up. The boy did not show up, so we did not have that blocking the formation of storms. So we had the large number of storms developing. But, says National Hurricane Center forecaster and spokesman Dennis Feltkin, there is no ignoring the role of sea level rise of exacerbating the effects of this season's most infamous storm.
Living along the coastline is a great way of life for a lot of people, but we're throwing more people and more property in harm's way, and we need to find a way to mitigate that, or the number of fatalities and certainly the damage is only going to go up.
And we'll be taking your calls, by the way, on the effects that you may be seeing in your community. And we also asked you through the Public Insight Network, and we'll hear some of those calls. But if you line up, if you want to line up, you can do that at 800-743-WLRN. That's 800-743-9576. So we've finished another hurricane season, Brittany, here with no impacts. But you always hear that word complacency. Now, I guess it's been since 2005 that we have not faced a hurricane.
Can I explain why that has happened?
Why is that?
I can explain exactly why that has happened. In 2005 was the Katrina Wilma year, correct?
That's right.
I talked my wife into letting us buy a whole house generator that year. It's a huge thing. It's bigger than my first house, okay? It will power our house in the event of a hurricane. From the moment we had that thing put in, and it was not a free generator, there's been no hurricane come to South Florida. And it's because my generator is keeping it away. If we were to remove my generator, the hurricanes would come back immediately.
That's right. I got one, too.
Okay, there it is.
I have one, too, but
Not one of those. I mean, I don't live a mile from the coast. I'm in the suburbs.
You have to start it up, though, every few years, or else you could have an accident. So I might be sitting in the corner of the garage right now.
But when they show the map, the weather, what the high pressure steering the storm, and so they should show... This Dave Barry's generator should be on the warding off the hurricane.
Well, you can get off the grid if you wanted to. Why not?
Because I know it runs about 15 minutes, but during those 15 minutes, we'll have power when our neighbors don't.
So, well, Phil, I have something. I moved to Florida in December of 2005, so I always thought it was me.
Well, I think she's got one better on you, Dave.
You're protecting.
I would believe that she'd be, and she's from North Carolina, that's a hurricane prone state there too. So anyway, when we come back, we're going to dive into some other stuff about why the state can't vote straight. Plus, a state-run citizen says the media is to blame for their troubles and FPL rates are on the rise again. These must be sure signs of the apocalypse, but maybe it's just normal events in South Florida and Florida. But we're also live tweeting this particular program here. You can find us, actually, at the hashtag TheFloridaRoundup. And we're also, our Twitter handle is at WLRN Herald. I know we all have Twitter handles as well. We might give those out along the way.
People to stop listening to the show and go read about us on Twitter.
Well, no, they have to do it both at once. This is the great thing about this medium is you can listen and you can type at the same time. It's like a double thing. So if you can walk and chew gum at the same time, we encourage you to get on our Twitter roundtable there and join the live tweet at callsign WLRN Herald with the hashtag TheFloridaRoundup. We're taking a break. I'm Phil Latzman, coming back in just a moment. I'm Phil Latzman. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup here on WLRN. Our guests today, Brittany Wallman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel, Dave Barry from the Miami Herald, and Marva Hinton from WLRN Miami Herald News. And we are taking questions for the panel. We gave out the phone number. We'll do it again, though. It's 800-743-WLRN. We have some people on the line. Also, our email where we can be reached is thefloridaroundup@gmail.com. That is thefloridaroundup@gmail.com. We'll throw the Twitter handles out now. Dave, yours is not as one would expect. For those who don't know your Twitter handle, what is it?
Oh, it's Ray Adverb, which is Dave Barry Rearranged, RayAdverb.
Ah, very nice.
But I'm not tweeting from here right now because I'm talking to you and talking and chewing gum, so I can't do a third
thing. It entails a full attention. I'd appreciate that. Brittany Wallman, what's yours?
Mine is @BrowardPolitics, and I also have @BrittanyWallman.
She has two.
Yeah, she's got a lot. Marva, you have one, and then of course maintain the WLRN Herald account. We're sort of like the Oz puppet behind there too.
Yes, sometimes I maintain that one in the mornings at WLRN Herald, but my personal one is at Marva A. Hinton.
And I'm
if
at
we had had this conversation 15 years ago, people would go, what are they talking about?
It's a different world now, right? But anyway, I'm at Phil Latzman, in case you want to follow me there. Now, let's move on to the election 2012. Now, Dave, this is electile dysfunction here in Florida. Seems to be sort of a...
We should not be allowed to vote. You know. We should not have any electoral votes at all. We should give our electoral votes to a place that can use them wisely, give them to Montana, give them to Belgium. Just give them away to somebody who knows how to actually hold an election and then count the results of the election, which is clearly not the state of Florida. I went to the after like the third day after, you know, everybody else in the country had revealed who they were on. But we hadn't even come close to that. I went to the Miami-Dade County Election Board, website, and it says, "Be election ready. We're election ready."
Yeah,
not
so much. the question is now in all the wondering who gets the blame here. Now, former GOP state leaders, including the ex-party chair Jim Greer, former Governor Charlie Crist, now admitting that Florida Republicans wanted to suppress the vote with the bills the legislature passed last year with early shortened voting days, stepped up ID requirements, and limited voter registration drives. Here is Greer, who is singing like a bird while he's facing criminal charges for allegedly diverting money from the state party to his own company. He told the Palm Beach Post this week that party officials told him, quote, "We've got to cut down on early voting because early voting is not good for us. And the law had nothing to do with voter fraud," continuing by saying, quote, "It was all a marketing ploy." Is that this is a Marva, how credible is that? We read a lot about these things all the time, but do you think people are paying attention to this?
I think people are definitely paying attention. I know when we had a post about that on our website, WLRN.org, it was getting so many hits. But at the same time, you do have to remember that Greer is facing charges right now. He's not very popular within his party. And the same with Charlie Crist. You know, he campaigned for President Obama. He spoke at the Democratic National Convention. So when they say these things, you always are going to have people that come back and say, well, they have an axe to grind against the party.
Yeah, Charlie Crist, by the way, says he also tried to get GOP leaders to stop. And, of course, he angered them in 2008 by extending early voting hours. How much of Brittany was this an issue in Broward, where there were also local issues with
Broward? Yeah, Brittany, how'd Broward do in this?
Yeah, let's shift the blame
north.
Well,
first of all, I mean, you wouldn't have to explicitly say let's shorten early voting to help the Republicans. There's data out there. There's no guesswork going on here. They know that Democrats do more of the early voting, and it could just be a wink, wink, nod, nod thing. Hey, this will give them more time to prepare for their election. The reason we had those long lines, besides the limitations that the state has on where you can actually hold early voting, the ballot was ridiculously long. I mean, hello.
Who writes the
legislature? Yeah. And Tolstoy.
And in three languages. And by the time you find the actual thing, bubble you're supposed to fill in, you've already...
Well, you're not supposed to read it in all three languages.
I know, but it's a long way away. Just understand. Physically, it's like... It's many feet away, and you have to go, which one is this? Again, I want to make sure trace back through the Creole, through the Spanish, through the end. It's like a long, complicated.
Well, and this is also because the legislature changed the law, which regulated how many words could be in each amendment, amendment statement. So they changed the law, and now you can put as many words as possible in there. So Dave, do we blame this all?
I've seen Stephen King books that were longer than the ballot that they handed us at the, you know. Well, I'm sorry.
I think what was proven there, though, I mean, the Democrats and voters overall matched or exceeded, in some cases, the early voting numbers from when we had longer voting times. And so if it was to curtail something, it didn't work.
By the way, Miami-Dade officials began their investigation into why voting in Florida's largest county was such a mess this month. Mayor Carlos Jimenez's election advisory group met yesterday trying to fix the problems that plagued the process with long lines for both early voting and election day. Of course, some county residents waited for hours to cast their ballots. Miami-Dade election supervisor Penelope Townsley says several issues played a part, including lengthy ballots. Of course, we just talked about that lack of proper equipment, volunteer workers who didn't show up, and slow counting following a late surge in absentee voting. And Mayor Jimenez says,
things happen only in Dade County and all the rest of the United States. They didn't have any of those issues to deal with. All of those things just happened here. Oh, man, are we unlucky. Can't be that we're incompetent. Can't be that we can't figure out how to hold an election, even though we've already screwed it up like thoroughly once before. I mean,
yeah, and
do I sound cynical?
No, I
think we should start right now holding the 2016 presidential election. People, go to your polls now. Get in line. Maybe we'll get this thing right.
Early, and this is what Mayor Jimenez said: the next time is to conduct elections to be proud of in Miami-Dade County.
It's not like we were asking to be proud of them. We just want to have them.
We
did it. Be able to count the votes.
That's like all. We can only go up.
Yeah,
from
here, and of course.
Don't say that. Do not say that. We could find a way to go down from here. Yes, we could.
Well, Brittany, Broward had the controversy. We have to get Broward dragged into this somehow. But, of course, there's these 1,000 ballots that were sitting around after the election that nobody counted. If this was a really close election, that could have been a major issue. And you know,
we would have been more humiliated than we were. Yes.
This is Brenda
Snipes. You know what was so wild about that? It was, you know, a week after the election, and they said, well, This is what's wrong with this. So we would just want to make sure that every vote counts. So we just did another sweep of the warehouse, and we looked in every high and low
behind
and
the
every,
cushions.
I mean, you know, at one point the guy told the canvassing board, we looked in traffic cones. And,
really?
And then they told me, no, he was just kidding. He's just kidding.
Yeah, they don't keep the ballots in traffic cones. Well, who among us can honestly say he's never misplaced 1,000 ballots?
Yeah,
seriously.
But yet, you know, one of the races was down to one vote. And so this myth that there would ever be a perfect election, I mean, you know, and right before I came down here, I got some data from Miami-Dade, and I'm getting some from the other two counties down here. How many people just missed the postmark and they're voted absentee and just threw their vote away? There are hundreds. There are ballots still coming in from people that just trusted their ballots to the U.S. mail.
All right. Interesting. We'll get into that. You know, we want to talk about citizens and some FPL stuff as well. But we did promise that we're going to get some feedback from our folks on the line talking about climate change, which is we opened up the show with. And by the way, we'll reset it. I'm Phil Latzman. You're listening to the Florida Roundup. That was Brittany Wallman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel also with us. Dave Barry from the Miami Herald and the author of a new book coming out in January, author of several books and several works. Also, Marva Hinton here with our WLRN Miami Herald news crew. It's good to have you along. And we did ask for your calls and your comments on the sea level rise issues here in South Florida. So let's see if we can get right to the line. And we did this through the Public Insight Network. We asked members of the Public Insight Network what effects they see in their community from climate change. We have some of that at our website, WLRN.org. And on the line from, who do we have? We don't have James from Kudjoe Key. We have Eric, though, from Miami, who actually is a coral reef scientist. Eric, welcome to the Florida Roundup. Good to have you.
Hi, thanks. Appreciate it.
So tell me from your perspective, how do you see climate change affecting, and you do, coral restoration work in the Caribbean,
right,
for the Nature Conservancy, right?
Right, that's what I'm working on now. While I was in Miami for a few years, I've been involved in marine science, so it's a lot more close to home for me. It's a lot more familiar topic. I'm used to hearing all the details about climate change. From what I'm doing now, we're trying to protect a couple of species of coral that's been threatened in the Caribbean and have been really stressed by a lot of different factors, and you know, climate change is certainly involved in that. But you know, it's not the only reason we do the protection and the restoration work we do. It's certainly part of it, and certainly there's a lot more discussion about what effects climate change may have. So it's something that we're definitely conscious of, and you know that it's something we have to plan for one way or the other.
All right. Well, thanks very much for your call. And I guess we don't think about as much the coral reefs. I mean, we talk about beaches in our own property, but you know, if you go diving or if you've been out on the water, I mean, you can see that there's a lot of issues with what's, you know, our natural environment in the oceans.
Oh, sure. Yeah, the coral reefs are super important to the quality of life in South Florida. They're the reason why we have all the great fishing and all the nice beaches and have some protection from the storms. If the reefs weren't there, it'd be a much different place.
Well, Eric, thanks very much for your call. We appreciate that. It was nice to hear from you. Keep up the good work there. All right, let's go to Tom in Miami Beach. Now, Miami Beach is literally going to become like a bay pretty soon, I think. Maybe it's called Miami Beach Bay. Tom, welcome to the Florida Roundup. What have you seen in your area?
Well, in my area, I live on Normandy Isle, and I see on a full moon incredible floods. You know, I wonder where this rain came from, and then all of a sudden I realize these streets are not wet. This water is welling up from underneath, and the parking, driving through, it's amazing. It seems as if it's going to become a weather condition that we need to look out for, that we will start having reports on flooding as tides are high. And it's amazing how it does affect the way you drive around and where you can park and how you can get out of your car.
Dave, you've been here for a long time, three decades in South Florida. I'm talking to Dave Barry because I wanted him to sort of respond to you, Tom. But have you ever, I mean, have you noticed it more and more? You drive through Miami Beach, you drive through all these areas, and it's just, I mean, you can really, it feels like you're sinking.
Yes. No, I really, I don't go over to Miami Beach that often because I don't want to, you know.
You don't want to sink.
I don't want to get wet. But I'm certainly not arguing with that. You know, but is there a measurement of how high the seas are? Is there, like, Brittany's leaning forward.
I am.
She has one.
Apparently, I have no personal proof of this, but the sea level has risen 6 to 8 inches over 100 years. And so I think that's why people said, well, this is no big deal. I mean, you know, it's like fixing Social Security. We'll let someone else do it. It's projected to rise a lot faster. Imminently.
It's supposed to be exponentially.
And that's because the ice caps are melting?
Greenland. This is what they tell me. And I've spoken to scientists on this too, doing stories, but they tell me that Greenland melting is especially hard.
Well, what
on
we
us.
Need to do is get Greenland up there, some air conditioning. Cool it down.
Bring it from Qatar.
From Qatar, yeah.
Exactly.
They've got the air AC.
Tom, thanks very much for your call.
Good thing I'm
it's
here
coming.
To think of these
Greenland
things.
Is on its way.
Yeah, appreciate your call. Thanks, Tom.
Okay,
be safe out
you.
There driving through the puddles. James is also in puddles. He's in Kudjoe Key, down in the Lower Keys, I believe. Hey, James, welcome to the Florida Roundup.
Thank you very much.
So tell me what you're seeing. And you actually sent us a picture, which we'd encourage listeners to do at WLRN.org. You can email it to us at thefloridaroundup@gmail.com, and we'll try to get on the website. But you sent us a pretty jarring picture of your neighborhood. Tell us what you see.
You know, it's really interesting. I've been walking. I've got a couple of big dogs that I've walked, and I've selected a spot down on Sugarloaf Key that is away from traffic, away from houses. It's a nature area. And I've been walking on that path for 10 years now. And I've noticed of late that the water is significantly high, to the point that I've actually posted a tide chart for the area so that I only walk out there at low tide. Hmm. And the picture that I did send you was virtually low tide.
Oh, that's low tide.
That is low tide.
So that low tide, and just to give a description, it looks like a stream at low tide. And at high tide, it's a river?
It is. I have a pair of shrimping boots I bought that are about a foot tall, and the water has gone over my boots on occasion. Now, and I selected this area when I first found it about 10 years ago. It was dry all the time. It never flooded. I didn't even consider water on that path.
James, I'm just curious because, you know, we don't, we're obviously connected to the Keys, and we have a big stick down there on 91.5. You may listen to us on the, but what are your leaders down there saying? This has the ability to affect them first and foremost, or affect the Keys first and foremost. Do you hear a lot of talk from your leaders down there in the Keys about trying to head this off or do something to mitigate?
You know, I think most of us are asleep at the wheel. You know, most of us think the Federal Reserve is a government agency. It's actually a private bank. I think that we're oblivious to a lot of things that are going on that are a little less immediate to the everyday process of living. And I don't really hear a lot of proactive things that are being done or even reactive things that are being done to mitigate the rising water. If we're not perceptive to it, we might be oblivious to it. Most of the living area down here is fill. They build it up over the years doing dredging and things like that. And as we drive from Miami to Key West, you know, we're on a filled road. And so we don't really see that. If we go just a little bit off the highway, we're at more of a natural level of land.
Would you consider leaving because of this concern? I mean, the rising water. Would you get out?
I'm not living in fear, but yet I'm very aware of what I see happening. And I, you know, this is a concern for the people that live in this area, not just in the Keys, but in all of South Florida. Because Miami is not that much higher than,
right,
than the high spots down in Key West.
James, thanks very much for your call. We appreciate that. Keep listening down in Cudjoe Key.
All right.
Appreciate that. Maybe
well, now I'm really depressed.
Waterproof radio for him.
I came in here. I was a happy guy. I live in Miami. Everybody jealous of me. It was a great town. Now, man.
Popped your balloon.
We're about to die. Jellyfish in our living room.
Well, you know, like you said, your property will be more exclusive now that it'll be on the water.
As long as it stops at my lawn.
Yeah, I was going to say. We have a bunch of calls on this, and I knew this was going to happen. I have to apologize. I don't know if we're going to get to everybody. We have other things that we want to get to, but for those that are on the line that have been hanging for a while, stay with us. When we come back, I want to ask Dave. Dave's got the Herald Hunt tomorrow. We need to explain what that is, how you can get involved. That's a very important event. And we're going to also talk about the citizens and FPL, which are topics that we need to address because there's some developments there this week as well. I'm Phil Latzman. Our guests, Marva Hinton from WLRN Miami Herald News. We have Brittany Wallman here from the South Florida Sun Sentinel and Dave Barry from the Miami Herald. I'm Phil Latzman. We'll come back with more of the Florida Roundup in just a moment. Stay with us. Hey, welcome back to the Florida Roundup here on WLR. Well, you know, we're talking about that, so we might as well start it off here with that. But we were just talking about the new license plates in Florida during the break. So before we get into the other stuff that we have on our agenda, we have this new license plate thing that voting, a contest that just opened this week.
Counting the ballots, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, now we're on to license plates and ballots to license plates. So you have until December
14th. Right now, 14th. Al Gore is leading.
Really?
The license plate.
Is there an Al Gore license plate? Remembering the 2000 election.
Hey, there
something.
Should be a Casey and the Sunshine Band license.
There should
plate.
Be.
Now,
there
come on, be. They got manatees. They should have Casey.
Whatever people will pay for to fill up the coffers. Anyway, you have till December 14th to decide with the options you like best, and we actually have those posted on our website, WLRN.org. Dave, if you were drawing up a new license plate for the state of Florida, what would it look like?
It would be like a Canadian driver.
Je me souviens.
Je me souviens, which means I can't see the road in French, I think.
Is that how that works?
My left turn signal is on. I cannot figure out how to turn it off.
Marva, what do you think? What would be on your license plate for Florida?
I don't know. You've got to go with the orange. Maybe we should have a voting booth. Panther. Everything
chads,
Florida's
panther,
known for,
okay.
Yes.
Python, perhaps.
A bale of cocaine falling from the sky.
Maybe there should be like a python with a big X in the middle of it or something. And Brittany, what would be on your license plate?
Some kind of Save the Newspapers.
Save the Newspapers? I love that. Yeah. Okay.
Kids would go, what is that?
Speaking, Speaking of, what is a newspaper? Right.
That would be an electronic license plate, right?
Yeah. It'd
be available only on the internet.
So, free. Dave, so speaking
you have to pay for it if you want the metal one, but for you get it free on the internet.
Free on the internet. Oh, okay. Yeah. So, if you, speaking of newspapers, so we have the Herald Hunt.
Herald Hunt, the 20th Herald Hunt.
And this is not a Watergate conspirator. This is actually
no,
a
it's not.
Contest.
This is a giant puzzle. The Miami Herald's been doing this for many years. So actually, the first one we did in 1984, believe it or not. And then there were a few years we missed. But this is the 20th one. And it's a giant puzzle we set up. This year it will be in and around Peacock Park in Coconut Grove. And it's a big family event. People come. If you come at noon, bring a copy of the Herald with the weekend section has the Hunt special section. And that'll tell you everything you need to know. Lasts a few hours. It's a lot of fun. And there are prizes. You win a carnival cruise. There's three carnival cruises, really nice cruises.
Right.
So it's a lot of fun.
It's a scavenger hunt, though.
Not really scavenger hunt in that you don't bring things
back.
I've
never done this.
You have to solve puzzles. They're huge puzzles. Like one year, people came and there was a giant pair of dice on the beach. I mean, like 10 feet high. They've long since been washed away by the rising. No. And you had to figure out what the answer was. It's a number. And it turns out, of course, the answer was whatever the numbers are on the top of the dice, which you couldn't see because you're standing next to these things.
And you're
10
not
feet
10
tall.
Feet tall, yeah.
But there was a bunny walking around, Bugs Bunny, handing out actual dice. Bugs Bunny says, "What's up, Doc?" So that was the clue that you need to look, set your dice the same way. They're like that, big puzzles like that. And then there's what we call an end game, which is a very sophisticated puzzle at the end that only people way smarter than us solve. But thousands of people come out. We've had people come from England to do this. A lot of people come plan their trips to Florida around coming to the hunt. So it's a lot of fun.
And lots of prizes. It's again tomorrow at Peacock Park in Coconut Grove. And as long as we're on the Herald, we might as well talk about the future of the Miami Herald building, which, again, could be affected by the rise of sea levels.
I know. I find it very funny. When I first got to Miami in the mid-'80s, I looked at the Herald building. It's the ugliest single thing structure ever created by humans. It's the Miami Herald building. And now everybody talks about it like, oh, my God, they're going to knock down the Herald building. But I even feel a little bad for it, you know? I have a lot of good memories of that building.
Well, I've worked in it for 10 years, and I think we could all sort of, I mean, we could be objective.
It's historic. Some of the original grilled cheese sandwiches that they are still for sale in the cafeteria.
Some of the same rat families are also populating in the building as well. There's a, in fact, Greg Allen from NPR did a whole piece, if you haven't had a chance to hear that, on the future of the Herald building, which was soon.
Are they going to knock it down? I mean,
well, if they're going to knock it down,
build a
question
casino?
Is what's going to be built there? I don't think the preservationists have much of a hope of preserving it, because like you said, I don't think it's looked at as being, you know, the Sydney Opera House.
They're often confused.
it is iconic. There's no question. It's iconic. We did want to talk about citizens here for a moment. And if we have time for some more calls, stay there. A budget meeting for state-run property insurer of last resort, Citizens, turned into a media bashing session this week. Citizens recently fired four employees, including some internal investigators, looking into how the company was dealing with cases involving alleged misconduct by supervisors, phony credentials, drunken bar incidents, and this is on the Publics tab, and more than $750,000 in severance pay, which you are paying, we, as Citizens customers. Governor Rick Scott has called the firings of the auditors, quote, troubling, and has asked his chief inspector general to investigate all this while the company is raising rates for its more than 1 million customers, more than half of them in our listening area. Now, here is Citizens CEO Barry Gilway defending his company and blaming a third party for blowing their problems out of proportion.
The actions of a very, very few people over 4 years not tarnish the reputation of 1,300 employees that come in every single day and they bust their tail. Even though they're getting trashed in the press on a daily basis, they still come in to try and do a good job for the people in Florida.
Marva, you actually watched this whole hearing, or most of the hearing. Was it a lot of media bashing there? And do they have a point?
Well, right off the top, it was
a
lot of media bashing. And even in what you just heard, he was saying, you know, it was a few employees that were, you know, doing something they shouldn't be doing. But I think that misses the point that these were top executives who were doing things that citizens, they now say, you know, this was wrong. I mean, they had one thing that just keeps standing out in my mind is that there was an HR person who was at a bar and then removed her top and dancing around. What's wrong with that? It boggles the mind.
And she was in HR.
Yes, it boggles the mind to hear that. And then for him to say, oh, these were a few people. And on top of that, to have just let these investigators go who uncovered these problems. And, you know, before he was saying that was just, oh, it's part of a restructuring, but it just doesn't look good.
It's not like State Farm or Allstate here. This is the state-run property insurer of last resort, dealing with phony credentials, drunken bar incidents, severance pay packages. Dave, does this fit right
in? I mean, that sounds like Florida. Florida,
that's what
I know.
I was gonna say, okay. But, you know, by the way, this is also, I found this week, Florida's Chief Financial Officer Jeff Atwater said that insurers should not push for changes next year. He said that median household income declined 6.5% statewide since 2004, the average household is paying now 67% more for property insurance, which now eats up 4.6% of the average household's income compared to 2.6% in 2004. Is that any surprise there?
Not if you own a house down here every year.
You're paying that.
Yeah.
And of course, the company's been getting a lot of bad press since all four employees in the ethics office were fired. Here's another thing that we can all relate to. Florida Power and Light, the typical monthly base rate ones, and they all, some people do have private insurance, but everybody, for the most part, unless you're off the grid, has FPL. The typical monthly base rate for Florida Power and Light's residential customers will increase by $2.59 in January, the PSC approving on Tuesday this $246 million annual rate hike. And they also approved continued costs on nuclear projects not completed, including St. Lucie and Turkey Point in South Dade. And
wait, they're not finished with Turkey Point?
No, well, they did finish.
Because they started that baby up a while ago.
Yeah, but they're putting these extra reactors there.
Oh, okay.
Here's the funny thing is that Turkey Point is in a flood zone. So now they're thinking about purchasing these new towers, these new reactors, but you didn't need a boat to get there, apparently. That's another quintessential South
Florida
thing.
That is very
funny,
yeah.
Anyway, so those are a couple things there. By the way, do you find Governor Scott somebody that's
cadaverous?
Easy? Well, do you, well,
yeah,
in
I
addition
I
to
mean,
cadaverous.
He is the most cadaverous human being I think I've ever seen.
But
I don't know how he does
as
it.
As a humorist,
does
though,
he have any body fat? Let's ask him.
No,
Let's call him up.
He's quite skinny.
And if you've ever shook his hand, it is freezing. Speaking of cadaverous.
Cold. Is it possible that Governor Scott is not human? Remember, we had a vampire once, Martinez.
Bob Martinez.
I wrote a lengthy investigative piece in the Miami Herald proving that he was, in fact, a vampire. He never denied it. You know, if you're not a vampire and you're the governor, you would say so.
Yes.
Right?
I would.
Here it was, major newspaper at the time. Miami Herald was major back then. And we had an investigative piece by me. I went to Tallahassee and everything, confronted people directly about the issue, and they wouldn't talk about it. So anyway, I'm saying we can't rule out the possibility that Governor Scott is also not a human being.
Well, Neil Rogers used to call Governor Martinez Governor Dracula. Right?
Yeah, okay, I think Neil, no offense, but Neil probably got that idea from me. Because I'm the one who proved
you
it
said,
as
okay,
a journalist.
All right. So
where were we, though? FPL.
Yeah.
Can I just say what
yes.
we should do?
Yes, please.
I hope FPL is listening. The thing about power, electrical power, you know, the worst thing is when your power goes out, which it does even if sometimes down here, even if there's not a hurricane.
Somebody sneezes.
The worst thing is not when your power goes out, it's when your neighbor gets power back and you don't. That's the worst thing. So I think they should have a special number you can call if your neighbor got power back and you didn't, where they come out and take your neighbor's power away.
Take from Peter to pay Paul?
No, just, you know, so that's not, because it's nothing worse than watching your neighbors watch mm-hmm. television.
Now, what I like is how FPL advertises down here.
Yeah, that's cheap.
As
it's
if
like,
you have a choice.
Right, you could buy yogurt or you could have power. But I was saying, wow, that's a really good deal. I can't believe it's true, though. Because they can tell you anything, you're going to believe it. We can power your house for 7 years for what you spend on a candy bar.
Right, and here is another thing I want to mention. This week, a Miami-Dade commission is considering starting meetings with open prayers.
Right, because we solved all of our other problems here
with prayer.
We have nothing else to deal with down here, so we might as well deal with that, right?
Right, yeah.
Now, we have no other problems in Dade County, none, zero. Let's talk about this.
Well, if you pray hard enough, maybe they'll go away.
I mean, I think the courts have upheld that. Fort Lauderdale starts its meetings with the prayer. It's non-denominational. They have, you know, all kind, you know, a priest and a rabbi and a universalist and whatever else is out there. It's not that big of a deal.
No, yeah, but why can't, if you want to pray, why can't you, I mean, not to be making it, why can't you just pray a little bit quietly on your own? Do you really have
Isn't
to?
Isn't silent prayer as good as spoken prayer?
Yeah. We don't really have to make this like a big issue.
Well, you're putting some kind of blessing on what's about to occur.
Well, I don't know that if there is a God, that he really wants to be blessed.
Divine wisdom needs to be pulled down.
They're going to get hit by lightning is what I predict.
Speaking of county government, you know, Brittany, there's been some changes in Broward, though, you know, term limits just passed here in Miami-Dade County. But they have been in effect for 12 years in Broward County. You've been covering government there for a while, and this is the first time since that the term limits went into effect that we've actually seen sitting commissioners leaving office in Broward recently, Eileen Lieberman and John Rodstrom.
Right? That's right. And they have been in office for, since I was probably 3 years old. and they fought against it, you know, vociferously. And one thing that you'll see them doing is moving to another office. One of them tried to run for judge and lost. The other tried to get his wife to run for his seat. So now we're seeing filling those seats, now that we're finally getting some turnover, are the state legislators that were term limited. So
right.
It's always just shuffling. The politicians shuffle around from one office to another. It probably helps to break up some of the cliques and favoritism in one specific government, and then they carry it over to the school board.
How about we have term limits where the term ends and that person goes out of office, and then the office goes out of office.
So eventually you just get down to like three or two
positions. Slowly eliminate all elected government.
Save some money, too.
Yeah.
The other thing is that there's a new sheriff in town, literally, with Scott Israel taking over for Al Lamberti, and there's been a lot written about that since that happened as well, and you're on top of that.
That was huge and very surprising, and we lost our only countywide elected Republican when that happened.
By the way, I have to ask Dave about this, about the Marlins trade being finalized since we've been on the air. This happened.
I've been asked to put out a call to any listener who's interested in playing for the Marlins next year. Just give us a call because they need people. If you have a glove, that'd be great. But if not, if you're just interested in playing baseball for the Florida Marlins, give us a call. They need people.
Now, what do you think of that new stadium? Do you think that
it's a beautiful stadium? But my God, what a ripoff! I mean, we pay. You know, I really do think it's a beautiful stadium. If I could pick, we'd still have the Orange Bowl there because I think the Orange Bowl was part of history. But why we bought that stadium for those people, I will never understand. I mean, how it was allowed to happen? Why and now they've repaid us by this unbelievable behavior. It's kind of astonishing. Even by our standards, it's not astonishing.
I know. I did promise, and there have been a lot of people on the line, I'm going to apologize to some of them right away that I'm not going to be able to get to you, but Don has been in Miami since 1957. Don, quickly, just to summarize what we've been talking about with high tides and sea levels, you've been here for a long time. What have you
seen? It's up to his neck now. He's been here since 57.
Don, welcome to the program.
I'm trying to keep my head above water. Hold on a second.
He's getting
snorkel breath. Yeah.
I have a waterfront residence in Miami Shores, and I'm seeing higher high tide levels than I've ever seen since moving here in 1957. I know that, you know, this has to do with Arctic ice melt and Greenland ice cap melt that's in the news. Since the rise in sea level appears to be increasing exponentially, how long do we realistically have before we start to see some South Florida residences becoming uninhabitable? And is there any data available specifically for South Florida in that regard?
I will tell you this. This is a matter of great debate. Nobody really knows how exponential it is, if you will, if it is going at a meter per decade, 3 meters per... I mean, the people don't know that. And I think it's been generally agreed upon that they're taking all the science, sort of putting it together. Now, next week, we're going to cover this next week on the show, they're having this climate change, three-county climate change summit thing. And Brittany was talking about that before. Maybe they'll have some final numbers on what they think It's a four-county grouping of leaders. Maybe they'll have some numbers on exactly what's going to happen. But and on our website, by the way, I'll give you another plug to the website, WLRN.org, there's a whole map there which sort of shows you a progression of what it could look like if sea levels rise a meter, if they rise 2 meters. So, and it's a very popular post that's on there. Don, thanks very much for your call. I wanted to get you in there, and I apologize to Robert and Rod and Jerry and Jim. First, Dave, before we let you go, you have the gift guide for the holidays there that you've written.
Oh, yeah, my holiday gift guide. I think it's going to be in the paper this Sunday. It's a lot of gift items that are actual real items you could buy, but I would not advise it.
And we've got the Herald Hunt tomorrow.
Tomorrow it's Saturday at noon, Peacock Park.
And it's an honor to have you here. Thanks so much
for having me. I enjoyed it, even though I misinformed a lot of people.
Brittany Wallman, she informs people every day, is one of the best writers for the South Florida Sun Sentinel covering Broward County government. Thank you for coming down here. It's always great to see you. And Marva Hinton, who comes from right across the street at Miami Herald Studios, which will soon be underwater or whatever. It's great to have you here, my partner in the morning. Thanks for your time.
Sure. Thank you, Phil.
And that does it for the Florida Roundup this Friday, November 30th, 2012. If you missed any of the show, we have it on these airwaves again tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. We also do post it on our website, WLRN.org. We're produced by Alicia Zuckerman. Elaine Chen, our very hardworking associate producer, thank you. Our executive producer for WLRN, Peter J. Meritz. For WLRN Miami Herald News, Dan Gretsch. Our technical supervisor, Paul Leary. South Florida Arts Beat is next. Thanks for listening. Until next week, I'm Phil Latzman. And remember, stay informed, South Florida. Thanks for listening.